This is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. A couple of months ago, in our series with Metro Atlanta mayors, we talked with Brookhaven's J. Max Davis. Well, a few issues have come up, to say the least, since then, and there have been some changes, including the person in the mayor's chair. Davis resigned to run for state house, and Rebecca Chase Williams was sworn in as the new mayor on June 9th. She joins us now. Welcome and congratulations, and thank you for waiting with us during the report on Charleston. We appreciate that as well.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm a regular listener, so it's an honor to be here. I'm saddened by today's events, and I too weep for Charleston, but I'm happy to be here to talk about all good things Brookhaven.
There have been some controversial things about Brookhaven recently. As you know, City Attorney Tom Curry resigned just 2 days ago after the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Brookhaven Post discovered that Curry had withheld documents on the sexual harassment allegations against then-Mayor Davis, and then released a document which had some major alterations in it, and then also put out a misleading, at least, news release with the then-mayor. Did you ask for Mr. Curry's resignation?
I was very disturbed once I saw the full record of this whole case. To tell you the truth, the city council was often kept in the dark on this. We knew portions of the story.
And we should point out you were a council member at
yes,
the time.
Yes, I've been a city council member since the city began. So I've been there 2.5 years as a city council person. I was also mayor pro tem. So we had been advised along the way, and we'd been hearing Mr. Curry's advice as to why some of this information was privileged and shouldn't be released. And that's true. Dennis, as you and I both know, the open records law does have many exceptions to to protect people's privacy, confidentialities, et cetera. So there can be valid exceptions. But quite frankly, we didn't have the full picture. And I'm a little distressed that it wasn't until the full open records release last Friday that I was able to see the whole case before me. Then it became clear that there had been mistakes, serious mistakes made by our city attorney.
It certainly, I understand what you're saying, that the council was not kept in the dark, if you will, on some of this, but the papers had filed a lot of open records requests asking for the documents after the sexual harassment allegations were made.
They don't run the open records request by me. I'm unaware of that.
That was what I was going to ask you. Did the papers, the publications, contact you at all?
No.
And say, hey, we've got a problem here. We need the council's help with trying to get this moved along.
I'm trying to think exactly. I don't know that. Again, I never saw the exact request. I thought we were complying with it. I knew that there had been some documents withheld. I thought that whatever dispute there was over-releasing the actual names of the persons involved in this original, if you will, aerosol can episode. So to cut to the chase, as you and I both know as reporters, as everybody knows from the history of Watergate, the cover-up is usually worse than the original crime, and I think that's the case here. I'm not sure there was a crime to begin with. There was a stupid episode, but how it was handled is really what's at issue here, and that is at the heart of what happened with our city attorney. It was his, in my opinion, mishandling of this case that rose to the level of a lack of confidence, a lack of trust. And I will tell you, on the day that he resigned, I was lining up the votes to terminate him. It was my opinion that he had made a serious error in an area of open records and transparency where there is no room for error. We have to set such a high standard on an issue that is at the very core of who we are as Brookhaven, our promise to be open and transparent. We have a high standard there, and we cannot deviate from that. And so the majority of the council was in agreement that we were not happy, that the mistakes were egregious, and we were, in fact, ready to terminate. He came in and offered his resignation, so we accepted it.
Mayor Williams, let's back up a little bit, because when did you first learn of the complaint against then-Mayor Davis, and did you know, was there any other allegations or hint of anything?
This is one of the most upsetting parts of this story to me. Apparently, this incident the aerosol can incident, if you will, happened on February 23rd. The first time I learned of it was when a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution called me. I believe it was on May 12th. And I was startled. And I said, what are you talking about? I have no idea. He said, what about these allegations of sexual harassment? I said, the mayor? Really? I have no idea what you're talking about. We had had an incident where there had been an allegation in our police department.
Sure.
And I said, is that what you're talking about? Are you confused? I had no idea. And so consider that time gap between February and May.
It's quite a bit of time.
That's quite a bit of time. And so again, as I look back on the total picture, and then it was between May and then really the resolution this last Friday in June, that the council was advised, statements were made, statements were changed, reports were, investigations were launched, stories were written, a flurry of activity about this. You know, again, all resulting in really the resignation of the city attorney.
Being a new city, this obviously was uncharted waters for you all, to say the least. But how would you characterize how the city has responded to all of this now, and also in trying to make sure that it doesn't happen again? I know that you just come into the position, so it may not be a fair question, but again, how would you characterize the response of Brookhaven to this whole saga?
Well, I'm happy to say that I consider it to be a very serious problem. I immediately talked to my fellow council members to see if they were in agreement, if it was rose to the level of a firing offense. We actually all agreed that it did, and we were prepared to terminate him on Tuesday when he offered his resignation. So I would say the full release came out Friday, and by Tuesday he was gone. And I led that effort to clean up this mess. So, you know, I hope that speaks to what I'm all about, which is take action, don't delay, make the hard choices, build consensus, and make a decision.
Just a couple of other thoughts on this before we get to a couple of other things in Brookhaven. But had you gotten any reports from anyone in city government about any of this before? I mean, at the time, city manager Marie Garrett was quoted in the AJC as saying, Mayor Davis, and these are her words, took a liberty and crossed a line doing something that I would consider to be sexual harassment. Now, the incident in question, I think, involved him reportedly spraying a can of air freshener in the general direction or right up to someone's backside. So, had you observed that kind of behavior before? And that buzzing we heard was your iPhone, so I'll give you a chance to turn that off before you answer the question.
Turn it off here. Yeah. Sorry for the disruption.
That's okay.
No, I had, as I just said, the first time I heard any hint of this, any kind of allegation, was when the reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution called me. I've known J. Max Davis for a long time. I have seen nothing but him be an absolute gentleman. I think he was a good mayor. I support him in his run for the state legislature. I think when this is all said and done, there will be no claims, if you will. The term claim has kind of been loosely made, as you just quoted our city manager, as she claimed it might have been. She wasn't in the room. She didn't see it. That was sort of her subjective judgment. Neither of the two parties involved walked into our HR director where he has a form where you could fill out a claim. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that was done. It doesn't rise to that level. So that at the end of the day, I think we'll find that there probably wasn't sexual harassment. It was a stupid act. It was a childish act. I'm embarrassed for J. Max in that sense, in that he thought he was joking around. And it fell flat, and then it really rebounded.
But do you think he was involved in any way in either the withholding of documents, the altering of documents, or the preparation of a press release, which was misleading?
I really have no knowledge of that. I know there were discussions at City Hall. I personally wasn't there. I personally didn't witness this. I've since learned about the document that was, in fact, folded over and put on the copier, and which seems to me to indicate somebody was trying to show that that was all that was in the document.
Right.
It wasn't. That, to me, is the most grievous error. And I believe the city attorney had ordered that to be done.
Would the city attorney have done that, though, without the mayor?
I can't answer that. I can't answer that.
Mayor Williams, this follows your election as mayor by the council instead of voters. And maybe you can clear up why it was done that way. There may be some sort of bylaws in your charter
system. It's called a charter.
Yes.
Yes. It, just like the U.S. has a constitution,
sure.
The city has a charter, which governs what we do. And our charter says if a vacancy arises for whatever purposes, the death of someone, or in this case, the resignation of the mayor to go run for another office, if there is less than 1 year in the term, the replacement is made by a vote of the city council. And so that's what we did. If it had been, if there was, we're up for elections in November. Mm-hmm. So it's really about 6 months left. So I think it's actually a good rule because otherwise you have what's happened in DeKalb County,
sure.
Where you have an on-field seat and people go unrepresented for a long time. Or you, how could you possibly hold a special election in such a short time and then have somebody elected for 2 months or something?
Sure.
That would be crazy. So we just followed the charter.
Do you wish to continue as mayor of Brookhaven?
I do plan to run for mayor in November, yes.
What do you say to people?
Of course, after this last week, I may have to go away to the mountains and think about this for a while.
Well, Brookhaven is a new city, and for the residents and anybody else that's listening right now, what message do you want to convey to them about government, about governance of Brookhaven? I'm sure there are a lot of, I've seen comments, you know, you read the blogs and people have comments, and it's, in a sense, one could understand their justification of being angry, upset. You know, this was a city that was created on transparency, mm-hmm. and that was a message that was pushed out to the voters in order to approve it. So now you need to sort of regain maybe their confidence.
Absolutely.
As a city. So what do you say to them?
Look, I'm upset, too, at this incident. It damaged our city. And so my goal right now is to make a course correction, to right the ship, to clean up this mess, and put out the word as strongly and firmly as I can that we are a government, that we are a city of openness, transparency, and honesty. One of the things that I said the night I was appointed and elected was that I'm going to focus on the basics of the very things that the people wanted when we created a city. Paving, police, potholes, parks, permitting, all those very basic necessities of the services that we're providing. I also said that I would reach out to try to strive to be an exceptional city, and always remembering the core values of why we became a city to begin with. I worked very hard in trying to set up the city and get it passed and working on the referendum. We stand for honest and open government, efficient government, being good stewards of the taxpayers' money, running the government like a business, being fiscally conservative, delivering excellent customer service. This is not your same old city, but let me tell you, setting up a city is hard. Trying to do it perfectly the first day, well, forget that. That's impossible. But I will tell you, we're trying our hardest, and we will get it right. And this is going to be an exceptional city. It is an exceptional city. All things are booming in Brookhaven right now. I mean, our biggest challenge really is the growth. So many people want to be there, and businesses want to be there, and families want to grow and thrive there. That's all a good thing. We can only improve on it. But yes, we have to regain whatever trust has been lost. And so I will work very hard to do that.
And that goes back to something you said in your campaign literature when you were running for city council. We have only one chance to launch a city, and I want to make sure we get Brookhaven right. Those are your words. So are you now asking for a second chance to get things right?
Well, how long do you get a first chance?
You know? Or you're still on the first one?
Well, like I just said, it's really hard setting up a city of 50,000 people with a $28 million budget and not having a few missteps. If somebody thinks they can do it absolutely perfectly, bring it on. You know, you sometimes don't know what you don't know. I know a whole lot more now than I did 2.5 years ago. This is hard work. But look, I have no control of what the city attorney did. I had no control over J-Max acting, in my mind, stupidly. So if my mantra has to be, let's quit doing stupid things, so be it. So we have to stop. We have to stop the silliness and the unnecessary and the distract. These are distractions from doing the good work of the city. And, you know, I just want to say we have a great staff. We have great people working for us, and they are out in the field every day, you know, filling potholes, working with builders to do the permitting, watching over, you know, enforcing our tree ordinance. We have the best police department for anybody in the metro area, and I am so proud of them. And so we cannot diminish the good work that we do every day because one lawyer made one bad mistake.
There was one other controversy prior to that when the communications director left after some remarks she made to some female models who were people of color at a festival. So is the city trying to mend fences with the minority community, and how is that going?
Well, that's about three questions, Dennis. You know better than that. Let me repeat. Let's quit doing...
You've never done that yourself?
Of course I have. Let's quit doing stupid things, for starters. Mm-hmm. You know, I was particularly offended by that incident. And this is a woman who I really liked. She's a seasoned professional.
You hired her from Johns Creek.
I kept saying, this couldn't possibly be. This couldn't be. But in fact, it was. And she was very quickly dismissed. And I feel kind of badly for her because, again, she was a seasoned professional, and we thought we had gotten a really top-notch director. I was personally upset because I was not in charge. It was my idea for the Cherry Blossom Festival, and I worked very hard at it. We accomplished it. We planted 250 trees. We had a great weekend. And this is, if you go to Google Cherry Blossom Festival, this is what you'll find out. So to me, it's a smear on what was really a great event. It was a terrible incident. It was a terrible incident. We have personally apologized to the two young ladies who were offended. We have a very large minority community, and we reach out to them every day. And so, you know, in all the answer to this and really your previous questions is, all I can do is you will have to judge us by our actions. You know, I can say I'm sorry all day long, but really, we will just have to prove by our actions who we are, what we stand for, and how we conduct ourselves. So that's my job now, is to just right the ship, do the right thing, every day commit to what it is we stand for.
Mayor Williams, on that point, does it mean sending a stronger zero tolerance message to employees of the city of Brookhaven, whether it's the city attorney, the communications manager, city council members, anyone who works for the city of Brookhaven, does all this mean now perhaps you need to send a stronger message that there'll be zero tolerance for misconduct? It almost seems like, do you have to sort of reinforce that? Do you need to send out a memo saying, look, you get one shot, and if you mess it up, you're out, because it's a reflection of the city? Does there need to be some stronger and stronger consequences as well?
That's an interesting idea. I would tell you that I have been working and trying to push forward, which we don't have today as we sit here, is a employee policy handbook.
You don't have one?
I'm kind of shocked at that.
I'm shocked too.
Yeah. Now we're getting ready to pass one because I have been a total nag about this. And I have been, it actually was one of my main problems with the city attorney, who has, quote, been working on it for quite a while. And I kept saying, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? We need it. Why don't we have it? And why am I the one worried about this? This is a legal issue as well, not to mention a making sure your employees. Now, remember, many of our employees are independent contractors and people who we outsource. So they are covered under their policies and procedures as well. Our police have a very fine handbook,
sure,
a really good standards that they abide by. We truly only have, you know, a handful of full-time city employees who are employed by the city. But that doesn't negate the need for a strong policy handbook.
Right. And three in the past have been very crucial to the image of Brookhaven. So
yes,
whether it's three employees or 300.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those would be the very employees who we're talking about. So at the very next council meeting, that is number one thing on our schedule. And I will look over it again, in its final version, which was still being looked over by the attorneys, to make sure that we do send that strong message, because we don't have room for error.
You've also said the city will now do better when it comes to observing the sunshine laws, and you know them in Georgia especially as well as anyone, because you were an Atlanta TV reporter when they were originally written. You're an ABC network correspondent. So what specific improvements will you and the council make in terms of saying, okay, here are our procedures for following the sunshine laws?
We passed a resolution, and again, this is something that I developed and put before the council at our very first session. And even though some of our naysayers said, well, it just reiterates the obvious and says we're going to follow the law. Well, of course we're going to follow the law. But I would say this goes well beyond the requirements of the law. We passed a resolution that says, keeping in mind, of course, our most recent incident, to say that when we make exemptions, they're going to be very narrowly construed. We're going to err on the side of production. You know, some people think that anybody in City Hall has no right to privacy. Well, I would argue with that, but I do think you do err on the side of giving more rather than less. We've also said that this business of not showing the full document, that simply cannot stand. And when and if we redact, red line, you know, black line something out, we will give you a log that tells you under what privilege, under what part of the law, this is being redacted. So that when, in fact, the AJC and people were disputing what the attorney had given them and saying, on what basis are you withholding that? He was kind of vague. This will be very clear. So I'm quite proud of this resolution that we've passed. And in our discussion at City Council last week, we said, let's continue with this and really lay out a full policy of how we do this. Now, I also will work very hard to make it so that you don't have to file a Freedom of Information request for something that is just public record. Our clerk is inundated with open records requests for things as simple as police reports, permits, site plans. If we have it, we need to give it to you. I, as a reporter, filed very few open records requests. I would call up the department, the person, the whatever, and say, I need this document, or I need the copy of this, or I need this information. I didn't have to go file open records reports, yeah. And that's
things
how I want to
change over the years.
Well, I know they have, but yeah. If we're truly open and these are public records, my goal is to put as much as possible on the website, to be as responsive as possible, because quite frankly, it's a huge drain on our resources, on our clerk's time. We're going to have to hire another full-time person to handle open records requests.
All right, and there's nothing like getting that first denial from the city, from city government about an open records request. Well, Rebecca Chase Williams is now the mayor of Brookhaven. Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. We appreciate it.
Well, I invite you all to come to Brookhaven early and often. City Hall is right next to Town Brookhaven, so come on down. We'll have lunch and enjoy our beautiful city. Thank you so much for having me.